I did forget to mention as well that there is a carols practice on straight after the service as well. So if you're a part of the choir, if you can just be ready to go. If you do need to grab a coffee, try and grab it straight away and just come straight down the front and they'll be ready to go. The children will do their practice and then they'll have the carols after that. And also Colin Rolfs is away and he'll be back next week. They're over in Melbourne visiting some family. So keep them in your prayers as they travel. Our passage today is from James chapter 4, verses 1 to 10. So reading from the New Living Translation, but if you want to open your Bibles or you can follow along on the screen. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet don't you have what you want? Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask God, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be friend with the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate, that the spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him, and he gives grace generously. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be joy, let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up in honor. If you've been traveling with us at all over the last few weeks, you'll know that we're going through a sermon series in the book of James called Where the Rubber Hits the Road. And this is obviously, the idea is a practical series. And that is because the book of James is a very practical book. It was a book that was written to believers. And as we're going to see today from the passage we've just read, it's not going to be any less practical than previous weeks. And he begins with this interesting question at the beginning. He starts with, what is causing the quarrels and fights? And so the question today is, what causes you to quarrel and fight? Picture this, it's a Friday evening, you've just finished your meal at the table, the dishes are all done, and you want to sit down as a family in front of the TV to watch a movie. You turn the TV on and even before the screen is lit up, you hear, let's watch the football. Oh, I hate the football. Can we watch Australian Idol? Oh, Australian Idol's boring. MasterChef finals are on. Let's watch that. I want Baby Shark. I want Baby Shark. All before the screen is lit up. But all you wanted to do was watch a nice family movie. But everyone has a different favourite show. So instead of breaking out in World War III, you end up just turning the TV off. Sometimes I've wondered, what causes us to have quarrels like that in our lives? And perhaps you have found yourself in a situation like that, wondering the same thing. But the truth is, we all have them in our lives, whether it's choosing the TV show, whether it's planning an outing with our friends, or whether it's deciding on how the dishwasher gets packed at home, or how to fold the washing, or maybe it's even in your workplace on who is going to get the recognition or the promotion. Or maybe it's envy arising from a friend's successful retirement plan or lifestyle choices. Or maybe it could even be family disputes regarding who is going to look after mum and dad. We all have these quarrels, but these quarrels aren't just in our own lives either, are they? As James went on, and he says, what is causing quarrels and fights among you? And among you is referring to the church, as we see. You being the church, which, as we know, if you've been a part of church at all in your life, is we have our own problems and quarrels and fights. Maybe it's a power struggle between church leaders or committees. Everyone wants their idea to prevail without compromise. Or maybe it's envy among members about others obtaining more recognition or acknowledgement and praise for what they're doing in the church community. Or maybe it's disputes at members' meetings arising from perceived unequal distribution of church resources or funds to different ministry groups. The problem is, James says, that these conflicts and wars within us all come from one thing. He says they come from the evil desires within. Human beings are driven by evil desires, unfortunately. Envy, jealousy, greed, and more. Since the fall, we have been marred by sin, breeding these destructive impulses from that day forward. And it's an internal battle that manifests itself as quarrels and fights in our own personal lives. And when it's in our own personal lives, it's only common sense that we would see it within our church as well. But the problem is, when we are at war in our hearts, then only war can come out of us. And so I'm sure James's readers in reading this were asking, what do we do, James? And hopefully, if this is a problem for us today, we are asking that same question. What do we do with the war within us? And the problem is that this war within us actually mirrors a war that we are in with God. To break the cycle of these quarrels and fights in our life, we must address this internal war. Without peace with God, the truth is that there will be internally and externally no harmony for us. But thankfully, the Bible teaches us that a close relationship with God is key to having peace within. And being close to God also stops us befriending the enemy. And so today we're going to look at a close relationship with God. In the rest of our passage, James addresses this very issue, the enemies to avoid and the steps to take to have a close relationship with God. So if you haven't already opened up your Bibles, I encourage you to follow along with me in James chapter 4, and we're going to be continuing on in verse 2, where we're introduced to our first enemy to avoid, the flesh. In verse 2 of chapter 4, he says, You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Now, we've got to remember here, when we read something like this, it makes us think of the world. But James was writing this book to believers in the church. So when we're considering the flesh, it's not that we're referring to our physical bodies, but rather that we are referring to our old nature. The nature that we had before we received our new life in Christ. This old nature that we had was prone to leading us and indulging in these evil desires that we've talked about of our hearts. And here we see that it seems to be happening again to the believers in the church James is writing to. Believers here sometimes seem to be giving into small desires up to significant ones. Things like temptation that might be rooted in envy and selfishness, but leading up to even some of the uncontrollable desires. But the problem seems to be that they're giving into these desires, yet by giving into them, these desires still aren't satisfying their needs. And some of you might have heard this quote before, but it just reminds me exactly of what Jim Carrey once said in an interview. And he said this, and this was at the peak of his career. He said, "I think everyone should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see it's not the answer." And this is Jim Carrey, someone who doesn't profess to be a Christian. And just as Jim Carrey discovered this truth, it's actually true for every single one of us here. Whether we are a believer or not, when we give in to the evil desires of our hearts, we will never be satisfied. And James tells us the exact reason why we will never be satisfied in the next verse, and it's because we left God out. He says, "You don't have what you want." Why? Because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. A non-believer can deny, ignore, neglect, and even reject God and his gift of salvation. But reality is that in his denial, that does not take away the truth of it. And only in instances like this, it's when we as believers can be encouraged in the satisfaction and fulfillment that we receive from a close relationship with God. So as believers, if we are willing to fraternize with our old sinful nature, the flesh, we can never expect to be at peace with God. Instead, what we can expect is grievance of the Holy Spirit that's dwelling inside each one of us, because it says in Romans 8, it says, when we let our sinful nature control our minds, it leads to death. But on the contrary, when we let the Spirit control our minds, it leads to life and peace. But the flesh is the only enemy, is the first enemy that James warns believers to avoid making friendships with. The second enemy that he warns us of is the world. And he says it clearly in verse 4. He says, "You adulterers, don't you realize that the friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God." Now here, James isn't accusing us of committing physical adultery, but he is definitely trying to make a point actually beyond the shock factor when we read something like that. See, accepting Jesus' gift of salvation is more than a new life. It's a new relationship with him. Our belief and our profession of faith in Jesus unites us the same way that a husband and wife are united in marriage. In fact, the connection that we have with Jesus Christ really surpasses even the connection in marriage. Because where in marriage it's a union of two people, in Christ we're not only united, but we have now the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, deepening our relationship and drawing us closer to him. And it's only because of this deep relationship that we have with Christ that as believers, when we consider a friendship with the world, does it compare to that idea of spiritual adultery? James goes on in verse 5 and he says this. He says, "Do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate. He is passionate about what? That the spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him." Some believers might subtly alter their values, or sometimes make a small compromise in their faith in order to gain worldly approval. It starts small by trying to seek acceptance, but this small start can easily lead to conforming to worldly ways. And James emphasizes that the world opposes God. So as believers, when we embrace the world, that means that we are forfeiting friendship with God. So we would do well to avoid a friendship with the world. Just as James has said, we would do well to avoid friendship with the flesh, and is about to tell us who the final friendship we should avoid with is, in the devil. The flesh, the world, the devil. In verse 6 and 7, he says, "And he gives grace generally. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Satan fell from his role in heaven because he was full of pride. Sin entered the world because Satan promised Eve that she could be proud to be like God. This is the exact opposite of what God wants from us, on his believers. Because the confronting truth for each one of us here this morning is that there is actually nothing in us to be proud of without Christ's work and the Spirit's indwelling. And this is why the greatest strategy of the devil is making us believe the opposite, believing that we are self-sufficient, luring us away from relying on God, relying on his guidance, on his strength in our lives. But when Satan tried this strategy with God, when Satan tried this strategy with Jesus, he promised him that he could be God in Jesus' temptations in the desert. Yet he was able to resist that temptation. Why? Because he had a close relationship with his Father and a close relationship with the Scriptures. Just as Jesus was able to resist the devil's temptation by having a close relationship to his Father, we too can have a close relationship with God and resist the devil's temptations. As James now makes a pivot and he shifts to what is the steps to take to have this close relationship with God today. And the first step is submit to God. And we see this in verse 7, where he's already said it. He said, "So humbly or submit yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Depending on the translation you have, you might have humble or submit. And looking through a number of translations and commentaries, I believe that the most appropriate translation for this area is submit. And that's because the emphasis that James draws on a term like this. And he draws from its military origins, and which means that when James says something like submit yourselves before God, it's not just a gentle suggestion, but rather it comes across, or it should come across when we read it, as an urgent command. Because James sees this as crucial for us to be able to resist the devil. And just think about it in our lives. How many times within ourselves, our families and the church, would we have never had war brewing within us or quarrels and fights among us if we had just immediately submitted to God and his word at that first sign of an evil desire brewing or a temptation rising in our hearts. But the problem is we don't. We don't submit it to God straight away. Instead, what do? We entertain the idea. We almost enjoy it a little bit. We let it linger. Or maybe we think, I can just stop that whenever I want to or get rid of it and dismiss it. But just like a little yeast makes a whole batch of dough rise, desire and temptation only needs a foothold in our life to start a war. The first key to a closer relationship with God is by immediately submitting to him, to his word, and resisting the devil's temptations. But that's only the first step. The next step that James points us to is draw close to God. Draw close to God. And in verse 8 he says, come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. How do we draw close to God? By doing exactly what James says here. He says it in more explaining terms, but the basis is that he's calling us to confess our sins, repenting of the wrong that we are doing and the wrong that we have done in our lives. And to be honest, this is one of the greatest blessings that we have received in our new life in Christ. A heavenly Father, who James has already said for us in verse 6, he said, gives grace generously to us. There is no sin that we could commit that God isn't willing to graciously forgive by the blood of his Son. We have the freedom, the ability to come before God and confess our sin and repent of it at any time and anywhere we want to. But the problem is that we don't do it. Why? Again, because we buy into the devil's lies. We believe that we don't need God. We believe that this sin isn't as bad as it actually is. Or we believe that I'll follow God in this area of my life, but in this section, when I'm out with my workmates, that's off limits to God. But that's not what James says will bring us closer to him. He says that we can't have any loyalty with the world, the flesh, and the devil if we hope to draw nearer to God. Instead, our goal should be becoming like Jesus, clean, pure, and without blemish. And this is only achieved through continuous daily confession and repentance of the evil desires in our life. See, a close relationship with God requires us to draw close to him by confessing and repenting our sins and immediately submitting to him and his word. And the final key to a close relationship is humbling ourselves before God. In verse 9, he says, let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. How do you feel when you find yourself giving in to an evil desire at war within you? Do you become filled with joy? Laughter? Are you just complacent and unconcerned, at ease in your life about what's taking place? If that is the case, as a believer, James says here, there's great concern to be had. Because when God sees us finding pleasure in our evil desires, it reveals to him where our heart truly is, where our loyalties truly lie. And it's not with God. But in verse 10, he says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. Because when God sees us humbling ourselves before him, realizing the seriousness of our evil desires and the sin that we are participating in, when he sees us resisting, confessing and repenting, it says here that God will joyfully come alongside each one of us, lifting us up, aiding our escape from the war within that we are facing. The key to a close relationship with God. So the next time you're at war within yourself, I encourage you to ask yourself these questions. What harmful friendships do you need to avoid? Be it with the flesh, the world, or the devil? And then secondly, what essential steps can I take to draw nearer to God? We've seen submitting to God. Maybe that means that the first hint of an evil desire or temptation, whether that be in your thoughts, your actions, your words, or what is capturing your attention, you should pause. We should pause. Surrender to God, control of that area in our lives, and ask the Holy Spirit's guidance for strength to resist. Or draw it close to God. Consider establishing a daily routine by confessing any sins or yielding to the evil desires, seeking the Spirit's guidance to mold us into Christ's likeness, inviting God's presence ever nearer. Or humbling yourselves before God. Work towards cultivating an attitude of humility and genuine remorse when recognizing participation in evil desires and sin. Because if we can do these three things, we will forsake the harmful connections that we make with the flesh, the world, and the devil, and we will move closer to God daily. And this shift even can end wars, end our war with God. And if we are no longer at war with God, we will no longer be at war within ourselves, which means that we'll no longer be at war with others and we'll finally be able to have that peace within. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, just thank you, Lord, for the fact that you are so gracious, that there is nothing that we can do that would turn you away from us, Lord. But the matter of the fact is, Lord, that we willingly turn away from you. We willingly give in to the evil desires of our heart, Lord. We go back to our old sinful nature. We befriend the world when we want to find acceptance in it, and we fall trap to the devil's lies that it's okay, that we don't need you, that we can do it on our own. But as everyone here has experienced in their own lives, Lord, when we are not in fellowship with you, we are at war within ourselves. We become at war with our families, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so, Lord, I pray, as you desire for us to draw closer to relationship with you, and as James has said so clearly for us, when we come close to you, when we submit and humble ourselves, Lord, you graciously and joyfully lift us up and help us resist the evil desires that are at war within. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.